Hey guys, I am going to jump right in. I just want to be mindful to let you know that this is not a soundproof room and it's a beautiful day. There are birds. There was just a crow sitting right outside my window, squawking, and I had to pause and I ended up just starting over. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Damn crow. But whatever. So I'm just letting you know. And yeah, so I'm going to jump right in. I did part one, am I mental? And this is obviously part two. I look at my mental health like kind of like an apartment building with really long hallways. And each apartment would be a memory, something about my life, something about me. So some of them are labeled. I love those. And some of them are not. Some of them are good and some of them are bad. It just depends on which memory you're going into, right? So for example, a couple months ago, I had wandered into a shadow somehow, which a shadow would also be a memory, which would be an apartment, however you want to look at it. I like to look at it. I usually use the word shadow, but I'm trying to like kind of explain it in different ways so people can understand. So let's say I'm wandering down the hallway. I ended up in an apartment. The apartment was my past. So I was talking to my son. He's 15 years old. And, you know, I know that the time's coming where he's going to be faced with some decisions, you know, drinking, drugs, sex, things like that, because he is at that age. So I wanted to have a really raw conversation with him about it. And we did talk and I told him a little bit about my past. And, you know, I don't know if everyone would agree with talking to your child as bluntly as I do, but this is how I choose to parent. So I just hope that anyone listening can respect that. We all choose to parent differently, and this is the way that I go about it. So we were having a conversation, and I was letting him know that he's going to be faced with decisions soon, and he needs to be aware, and he needs to ask himself some really serious questions, and not in the moment, because in the moment, when you're already making bad choices like drinking and stuff, you're not thinking anymore. You're not you anymore. So he needs to be able to catch himself before he gets to that point. And that's not easy, especially for a 15-year-old when their brains are definitely not developed. I'm 36 and I feel like my brain's not developed. So there's that. So we were having this conversation and I told him things happen. I was 15 years old. I was at a party. Everyone was drinking. I was heavily, heavily intoxicated. I was in a room and I got up and left the room and I was carried back into the room where I was then assaulted. And, you know, I told him the story and not to overshare or to, I don't know, expose him to things that he shouldn't be, because at the end of the day, like, I'm not exposing him to stuff that happened when I was 15. He's 15. So he could be dealing with these situations, you know, and this could be a real life situation for him. And if he was ever, you know, at a party and people were drinking, I would want him to be able to know to ask certain questions such as, is this girl intoxicated? Is she able to make a good decision right now? Am I able to make a good decision right now? Am I ready to make this decision? Does this feel right? Does something feel wrong? Am I able to go with my feelings and to know when something feels wrong, to leave, to call my mom? And these are things that I want to talk to him about now before that happens. And the situation that happened to me was awful. It was terrible. But you know what? It's a bunch of kids that are hanging out drinking and not making good choices. And, you know, it was a situation that I was put in, that I put myself in, because I had previous trauma. I had said in a podcast before, September 11th really affected me. When that happened, it changed my world. It rocked me. And after that, I literally wasn't the same. I started hanging out with the wrong crowd, the wrong kids. We were drinking. Once drinking got involved, that was it for me. That was it. I loved it so much. It made me not think, not feel. And, especially after this party, you know, I never went to my mom and I never talked to her about this. She never knew any of this even happened to her. It was just a teenager who had gone crazy and she had no idea what was going on. And I never told her any of this, but I think I didn't tell her because I honestly didn't even really know what happened to me. So that's the other crazy thing about this conversation with my son. We were having this conversation and, you know, after I spoke, I kind of paused and he looked at me straight in my face and he said, "So you were raped." And like, I never thought about it, you know, like I never put two and two together when the situation happened because I was just so young and I didn't know how to deal with it, I guess. So I kind of just closed the door and locked it and like walked away and never went back. And, you know, I never went back because it was a hard thing for me to face. But had I gone back, and now that I have as an adult, I can look at it from an adult point of view. And like, what would I tell my daughter? What would I tell a student? What would I tell anyone in that position? I would say that you were assaulted and that was not okay. And at the time, I wasn't aware of any of this. I wasn't even aware of it until a couple of months ago when my 15-year-old son told me. And it's like, this is hard to talk about and it's definitely not easy, but the beauty in it is that like, it took me a long time to open that door back up and to look at the situation and to feel it and to heal from it because I didn't even know what had happened because I didn't want to face it again because it was just too hard. And that's human nature. And that's just what we do. And that's normal. But now that I'm aware and I know that I can go back and I can heal those parts of me and it changes my relationship with the people around me and the men in my life, that is so big. It is so important. It is so beautiful that I was able to see that, you know? And this is what I'm talking about as far as I don't want my situations to be something where people feel bad or, you know, makes them feel bad about themselves. If you happen to ever wander in a room or if this podcast kind of brings something up for you, don't let it make you sad. Like, this isn't sad. Be so grateful that at your age, you're able to now go back and help yourself and help your that version of you that was 15 or whatever age that the trauma happened. And I know that people are like, why would you want to like hurt yourself? Why would you want to do this? Why would you want to open those doors? And the reason why I want to do this is because this helps me show up different for everyone around me and myself. When I'm going back in, and that's what I'm doing. I am going apartment to apartment, door to door. I'm banging it in. I'm going in. I'm healing the trauma. I have like a backpack of tools. Like I'm not messing around. And I'm doing this because it helps me to see things clearer and it helps me to love myself more and it helps me to love the people around me more because you can only show up with the tools that you have. You can only show up with like the awareness that you have and the more awareness that you have, the better you can be for the people around you. And at first, yes, it is hard. And it, you know, like that stuff with Bryce, it wasn't the easiest conversation to have, but as you do it and as you become more comfortable and as you have more tools, it does kind of just flow. Like it wasn't weird after, you know, we had the conversation and I felt so good. I felt so empowered. He felt very, he felt very close to me and he felt loved. He felt heard. He felt validated. So this conversation actually like opened the door of our relationship. It really did. And that was because I was able to hold space based off of something that I had gone through. So like when I'm doing these things and I'm enhancing my relationships with my children and, you know, my family and my friends and if I end up in a relationship, someone who I'm with, like this is so special. And that's why I do it. Like really, that's why. It's not something that, you know, mental health never goes away. So I'm always going to struggle and it's something that I face every single day, but I feel like it's something that everyone faces every single day because we kind of like, we walk around and feel like it's only our voice and our head that feels the way that it feels. And it feels very, I feel trapped sometimes, right? So I feel trapped in my own mental health when the people around me are also feeling the same things and the same way, but we're not talking about it. So it's making me feel very alone and I don't want to feel alone. So since I've been doing the podcast, I've been having these conversations with people and just bringing it up and being very casual about it. And it doesn't have to be something that is traumatic, you know? It could be just a very nice conversation where afterwards you can switch it up to the weather or sports or something, you know? And that's the type of connections that I'm trying to have with people, because again, like, mental health is so important, and we're all walking around trying to act normal. And what is normal? Like, there is nothing that's normal. We're all like struggling, you know? And I know adults that feel like they're lost sometimes, and then they have shame in feeling like they're lost. I feel lost sometimes, and then I feel shame in feeling lost. And it's not a shameful thing. It's part of our journey. It's part of growing. You don't know until you know, and you're not aware until you're aware. But if you can start looking at things differently and start doing some of that work that it takes to level up with yourself, then, you know, I just don't know why you wouldn't want to. I spend days not awake. I've said that in my other podcasts. You know, I go into modes of being like really, really, really busy, taking on too much, or kind of being in a depressed mode. I go there too sometimes. But like, I'm able to get myself out of it, and I'm aware that I'm doing it. And just that is so powerful. And that's like what I'm trying to spread awareness for, you know? And I also want to make it a point to say that, like, as far as coping skills, negative coping skills that we take on, in my adulthood, I still had a lot of psych issues. As a child, I ended up going into psych facilities, actually, because I was running away from home, and I was just so depressed because of the situation that had happened. And I really, honestly, looking back, I'm able to identify that. But in the moment, I wasn't. And I got really depressed, and it got really dark. And my mom had no idea what was going on with me, because I didn't talk to her and I didn't tell her. And, you know, had we been able to have certain conversations that are hard, maybe things would have been different. But you can only do with what you have. And that's another reason why, you know, I'm trying to spread awareness so that we can help our kids, we can help ourselves. And I want to make it a point to kind of not just end it there. Like, if you're struggling and you're having a hard time, reach out to people. There's nothing wrong with saying, I need help. I'm not okay right now. I'm anxious. I'm overstimulated. Talk to the people around you, and don't keep it inside, because you know what? 9 times out of 10, people are going to literally agree with you. I've been doing this with people, and I guess you know who to talk to, right? You can kind of feel vibes. You know who's safe. When I'm around certain people, even strangers sometimes, I've said that. I've been like, I was crying, and I had a hard time. And people will hug me and give me a hug, and it's so amazing, and it's so nice, and they hold space for me. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with vocalizing if you need a hug, if you need to talk to someone, if you need to tell someone that you're not okay. Do it, and take that time, and take that time with yourself to go meditate and go look up at the sky, to go sit in the grass and say to yourself, like, I'm not okay right now, but what can I do to get okay? What can I do to switch this around? How can I make my life more enjoyable? How can I have more better days than bad days? And give yourself that grace, and give yourself that respect to have that conversation with yourself. And again, the people around you, because they'll understand more than you even know. And so this was part two. And, you know, I'm sure that I'm going to continue to talk about different things with mental health, because it goes on forever and ever. And I do want to touch base a little bit more on my teenage years and kind of like how that felt also, and how that translated into my adulthood, because there are some specific instances that I can connect the dots with, and that might help people. So it's a beautiful day. Like, let this podcast flow through you however it may. You can put it away for later and come back to it like on another day when you feel like thinking about it. And just stay aware with yourself and stay honest with yourself and give yourself all the grace in the world. Bye, guys.